can I find you? Why have you gone away? Where is the laughter you used to bring me? Why can't I hear music play? My world is changing, I'm rearranging. Does that mean Christmas changes too? Oh. Where are you, Christmas? Do you remember the one you used to know? I'm not the same one. See what the time's done. Is that why you have
jump in. Good morning and welcome to Road Warrior Radio. You're tuned in live this Wednesday, December 8, 2021 on the one and only Republic Broadcasting Network. And as always, thanks for coming along for the ride. It is a wild and dystopic ride, and I'm just sacred cow tipping these days. I'm pushing over cows. I'm probably goading a lot of people by commingling things that historically on this broadcast in particular, and I suppose on this network, we've picked apart. But I'm trying to focus on the good things, because I think in death cult ideological sort of fashion, we're seeing an attack and then just an outright assault on everything beautiful. And, you know, to leave us vicious and in darkness and so on, that's something that I've talked about, I think, at great length, the different quarters from whence that derives and how it manifests. And so on. So welcome to today's sermon. Just kidding. It's not supposed to be that, but it's been that recently in particular. And again, as I've said for the last couple of days, it's not in an attempt to be a sermon or anything like that. What I'm trying to do most recently is draw a clear distinction. There's this commingling of things and a polluting of things to try to, you know, give the appearance of an amalgamation. In general terms, we could point to, for example, the ecumenical movement in the Abrahamic religions, and then sort of beyond out from there, the coexist movement, and to sort of commingle these things so that, you know, you can pollute and corrupt something, and then gradually, through this metastasizing process, you can turn the authentic into something malignant. And, you know, that's a host and parasite kind of process that I have unpacked a little bit recently, too, that's manifesting itself in a variety of ways. Also, it's a very esoteric, alchemical sort of concept. And so that's another aspect of it. Anyway, I'm trying to make a clear distinction. And so I suppose I will begin today's broadcast by saying that, well, how about this? You know, the song Faith Hill, Where Are You Christmas, is in sort of reference to the Christmas spirit, you know. The loving sense. You know, if you read 1 Corinthians 13, it describes love. Love is patient. Love is kind. Is not jealous. Love does not brag and is not arrogant. Does not act unbecomingly. It does not seek its own. Is not provoked. Does not take into account a wrong suffered. Does not rejoice in unrighteousness, but rejoices with the truth. Bears all things, believes all things, hopes all things, endures all things. Love never fails. And, you know, you read on, and Pat in Texas mentioned the other day, and we talked about this, for now we see in a mirror dimly, but then face to face. Now I know in part, but then I will know fully, just as I also have been fully known. But then the next verse, the final verse of 1 Corinthians 13, but now faith, hope, love abide these three, but the greatest of these is love. And that's kind of I would call that an unimpeachable word. I mean, you can be a hardened atheist or agnostic or whatever and hard to find fault in these words. And it's hard to find a person who lives by this credo, if you will, these days. This is something that you don't see typically. I mean, we're so quick to throw everything out, you know. Well, this is defective, so I got to move on. There's no room for God to work. There's no room for miracles. I listened to Richard Grannon a little bit yesterday talking about the kind of it was along the lines of it was a thing that he was doing, but whatever you call it, seminar or something like that. But it was along the lines of he was asked a question that sort of turned into a social justice commentary of sorts. That's interesting. And I will, you know, maybe I'll juxtapose what he referred to as toxic yin versus 1 John 3:2. Speaking of the juxtaposition, but he, you know, he said he was basically saying, so where do you draw the line? You know, you have people help themselves and all of that. But the thing that I'm getting at that I've talked about before is this all sort of comes down to a worldview. If you believe there is no creator who, you know, resides in heaven, created the heavens and the earth, created each one of us, who presides over, you know, creation, then I can completely understand how you would want to intervene in all manner of circumstances. But if you believe in a creator in heaven, the author of the Bible, then as you start to explore his word and you start to understand how he would have us navigate life, so to speak, then you realize that there are these, you know, people ask these questions, why would a loving God allow this to happen? Well, there are moments. I mean, Joseph answered that question in Genesis 50. You know, his brothers came to him and were afraid because they'd thrown him down a well, pulled him out only to sell him for 30 pieces of silver into slavery. And he has all these trials and adversities, separated from his family at a young age. You know, he's supposed to be the child of promise, basically. He has this fancy coat his dad gives him and stuff. And his brothers are jealous, obviously. And so he ends up in some difficult circumstances. You know, Potiphar's wife tries to frame him because he won't capitulate to her unsavory desires and, you know, things like that. His brothers show up later and they're looking for a handout, basically, a government handout. And they realize that it's Joseph himself that they have to talk to, and they say, oh man, that's it, we're done, he's gonna kill us for sure for what we did to him. And he says to him, guys, don't be afraid, you know, you meant it for evil, but God meant it for good, to bring about this present result, that many would be saved alive. So there are moments like that, obviously, you know, Romans 8:28, Revelation 21:5, passages like that come to mind. But It's a difference in views. It's a difference in worldviews. And so I'm hoping to present that juxtaposition and you know, there's also the story that I've mentioned, you know, the blind man. Disciples say, Lord, was it this man or his parents who sinned that he would be born blind? Jesus says, neither. You know, same kind of, you know, that God's power would be demonstrated this day. So same kind of thing. Anyway, the love of 1 Corinthians 13 to me is sort of embodied in Psalm 15:4, which is, I've mentioned Psalm 15 before. It's a short psalm, 5 verses. Who's cool enough to hang out with you, Lord? O Lord, who may abide in your tent? Who may dwell on your holy hill? And then there are, you know, the following verses are the answer, the response to that question. And verse 4 includes this. He who swears to his own hurt and does not change, which is a picture of Christ, obviously, who knows in the garden what's coming. He knows so much that he's sweating blood. And yet he says, you know, if it's possible, Father, let this cup pass, but not my will, yours. And he knows it's coming. He swears to his own hurt and does not change. That's the kind of love that's spoken of in 1 Corinthians 13. And that's what that's the kind of beautiful, enduring, you know, long-suffering, loving-kindness that you see in the Old Testament. It's the same thing that people identify with today and why Nicholas Sparks movies, books and movies are so popular. It's what we want. It's what we crave. That, to me, is the sort of the embodiment of the spirit of Christmas, if you will. If we can dispense with the, you know, the Nimrodic aspect of it for the time being, the pagan aspect. Anyway, Galatians 5:22, same thing. Fruit of the Spirit, love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. And then this, against such things there is no law. Can you imagine? So again, I mean, if we just sort of roll this around, just mull it for a second, the fruit of the Spirit is, that's capital S, Spirit. Fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Is there a shortage of those these days, would you say? I would. Could we use more of those? Love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Seems to be a shortage. They seem to be in shorter and shorter supply. And then this, against such things, there is no law. We don't need Congress to pass more laws. Maybe we should just start here. It's cheaper. It's probably more efficacious, as the Faucis would say. Probably more efficacious. The law is antagonistic to the flesh. That's a different discussion. But so the more laws, the more antagonism. This, on the other hand, not antagonistic. If anything, it dissipates the antagonism. You know, Proverbs tells us that when a man's ways are pleasing to the Lord, he makes even his enemies to be at peace with him. And Paul echoed that, saying, you know, in as much as it's possible with you, you know, to be at peace with every man. That dispels the conflict. So, in continuing the contrast of the biblical authentic versus the Kabbalistic satanic counterfeit, as I've sort of cast it over the last, I don't know, couple of weeks in particular, today I will focus, the contrast focuses on Joel Osteen and Oswald Chambers. Mentioned Chambers recently, My Utmost for His Highest. But again, why? Why do this? It's not because I'm trying to do this or that. It's not, I'm not trying to ambush anybody. Really, honestly, it has nothing to do with proselytizing. I mean, I guess if I'm being completely transparent, as they say, speaking of glasnost, openness and transparency, this broadcast has always been about that in a sense, you know, to bring the hope of Christ basically to the world, because I don't find any greater hope in the world. In fact, without him, there is no hope as far as my perspective is concerned. But that's separate issue. That's never been secret. They're never trying to sneak up on anybody with that. But this is really more about just creating the distinct contrast, because there is this commingling that's difficult to identify, and people are noticing and asking questions, whether it's communitarianism or whether it's, you know, these false preachers, false teachers kind of thing, where people say, yeah, I don't know, there's just something about it that just strikes me funny. It's all kind of the same thing. So the two reasons I'm trying to do this are, you know, in simple terms, people have been shown, in the vast majority of cases these days, particularly, nothing except this counterfeit, and therefore have, you know, in what you might call religious context, what you might call Christian, what people have seen as Christianity is not. And, you know, I've read the prologue to the Union Jack is a good sort of explainer on that, which was published back in 1971, I believe, which tells us that America is the primary incubator of this neo-Orthodox, communistic, counterfeit Christianity. So most people have seen this counterfeit and therefore have thrown the, you know, World Council of Churches, National Council of Churches inspired, which is, you know, a contradiction of terms, counterfeit, and therefore have thrown the baby out with the bathwater, so to speak. So to make the clear delineation in this case hopefully helps people make a better, more informed judgment, you might say, of the landscape, and for that matter, the deception being waged against all of us, and the attempt at gaslighting the truth. And the second reason is, similarly, as I sort of alluded to, people are, I would say, lost and broken and hurting, especially in the COVID and post-COVID era. And this has been a trend for decades now. If you look at studies, they tell us we're more psychologically damaged and injured, and we're less healthy, we're sicker, we're more infirmed in every possible way. We're not better. Economically, socially, politically, we're more at each other's throats. So people are lost, broken, and hurting, and looking for answers of some kind of relief. And the only relief that I'm aware of is this. So therefore, as a compassionate person, I offer it. What people do with it is obviously, you know, their choice. So that's kind of where we're at. And so I will make that comparison or that contrast today. Joel Osteen and Oswald Chambers. It's interesting. I think it is anyway. I think you'll find it interesting too. We'll go to the phones when we come back. Stick around. More right after this break.
As a listener of RBN, you're surely concerned about being informed and being ready for whatever may come. Please consider the following questionnaire as a soul-jarring wake-up call. If you answer no to more than two of these following questions, you probably aren't going to make it through any major disruption in our country. The questions were compiled by people that have been there. Are you really ready? Do you own your own firearm for the primary defense and protection of you and your loved ones? Have you ever been professionally trained to stand against life-threatening behavior? Have you ever practiced enough to fire 500 rounds during a 2 to 4 day time frame, day and night? Can you load, unload, fire, and clear a jam in total darkness? Have all the adults in your household been professionally trained? Are you, life and death, comfortable with your abilities with pistol, revolver, shotgun, and rifle? Are you aware that everything that you do to prepare for an emergency is a waste of time, money, and energy? If you haven't honed your abilities to their highest level to protect and keep what you have, do you have the repair parts that will most likely be needed for each of your firearm, and do you have the ability to install those parts? Could you completely clean every firearm you own? Are you aware that your body won't go where your mind hasn't been? In other words, without proper training, followed by regular practice, you probably will not win a gunfight. Well, how did you measure up? Take the once-in-a-lifetime opportunity to start correcting your deficiencies by receiving your Commander Lifetime Membership with Front Sight Firearms Training Facility. A one-time donation to RBN for $500 will give you a Commander Lifetime Membership at Front Sight as a tremendously huge thank-you bonus. See details on RBN's webpage to make it happen. The clock is ticking. You had better be ready before it happens.
Homeowners, are you in foreclosure, expecting to be served with a foreclosure lawsuit, or suspect your lender has coerced you into an illegal mortgage transaction? A huge number of mortgages made in the last 10 years have legal issues and are possibly defective. State laws and the U.S. Supreme Court have upheld that defective mortgage documents are grounds for foreclosure defense and for counterclaims in favor of the homeowner. If your mortgage has been sold or assigned since closing the loan, it may be defective and you may be paying the wrong party, and the lender may not have standing or the right to foreclose or collect payments under the law. If you would like to know if your mortgage is legal or not, or know if you are paying the right party, we can help. Our initial consultations are free of charge. We are not attorneys. We are legal researchers and work closely with experienced lawyers who know how to help you find the evidence to help you keep your home. Call toll free 1-855-2-KEEP-IT. That's 1-855, the number 2, keep it today.
Welcome back. All right. Let's go to the phones real quick and grab Nancy in California. Nancy, thanks for calling. Welcome.
Thank you.
Good morning.
I like your bumper music, and it was nice to hear John's voice, that old commercial.
Mm-hmm.
So I had been contemplating what that means in Galatians, against such there is no law.
Mm-hmm.
Once upon a time, and I came to a understanding, and that is that, and I could only think of one other example of it in the scriptures, but this is what I came to understand that it meant, and that is when you have a humble follower of Christ, and he's moved upon by the Spirit, there is no law, because he will not sin. He will not do something that violates the Spirit. And so the example I thought of was when Christ, when Mary conceived Christ. And I know that might kind of sound controversial to some people, but, and I don't know, you know, how some people justify that immaculate conception, but in our little puny minds, we think of it as a sin and dirty. Maybe some people think of it as dirty, but it really shouldn't be dirty. It's divine, right?
Mm-hmm.
And so, in that case, Mary wasn't Mary, Mother of Christ, was not married to God, the Eternal Father, but there was a higher law. And she conceived Christ, and the rest is history. And I was realizing that we have a perversion of that, a worldly perversion of that, and that is called situation ethics.
Mm-hmm.
You know, situation ethics tells you, well, the situation is going to determine how many people are going to survive on that lifeboat, but no, because miracles
or
happen.
Or the trolley car dilemma, or et cetera, yeah.
Right. Because they deny Christ. Because in their little minds, oh, well, this lifeboat's made for 10 and only 10 can survive on it.
Right, or it's the trolley car, or in this day and age, the autonomous vehicle dilemma, where do you kill the one really important person, or do you kill the 100 not so important people in Malthusian fashion?
Exactly. Because they can't even fathom that miracles could happen.
Right.
Or that there's divine intervention.
Yeah.
Yep. And so that was a real clear and understandable way for me to understand what against such there is no law means.
Yeah. If I could unpack that a little bit more, maybe to help sort of add some clarification, tell me what you think about this. There is this concept in the Bible referred to as the royal law, which is, I would say, you know, if someone said, well, how would you describe the royal law? I would say it's to do love, to do perfect love. That's the royal law. And so to your point about Galatians 5:22 and the King James 4:17 reads, therefore to him that knoweth to do good and doeth it not, to him it is sin. In the NASB 95, it's therefore to one who knows the right thing to do and does not do it, to him it is sin. So the law is conviction of sin. And it shows, it's the tutor, as Paul said, that shows us that we're sinning. He says, I didn't know I was sinning until the law came in, and then, well, there you go. So, you know, if we take for granted, so to speak, that this is, you know, God's domain, it's kind of his place, and it's his rules, so to speak, it's, you know, our heavenly Father, so to speak, then, you know, it's Dad's rules of the house, so to speak. And so those of us who are parents, you know, if your child is doing what pleases your heart, what makes your heart smile, then there is no law against that. You know, there's no need for any law. Right?
Very beautifully put. Yes, that's so beautiful. I really enjoy listening to you.
Appreciate it. Hang around, Nancy. We got to go to a break. Stick around if you can.
Okay.
Stick around, folks. We'll be right back.
All right.
I want the truth. You can't handle the truth.
You're listening to Republic Broadcasting Network. Real news, real talk, real people. Because you can handle the truth.
Hey gang, Patrick Slattery here with an important message that is pertinent to anyone who shops for groceries, eats food, or just has an inquisitive mind like myself. What I'm about to introduce you to is a segment of our food culture that has been kept so low profile to the American public that virtually no one is aware of how dominant it is on our refrigerator and cupboard shelves. What I'm talking about is the kosher certification industry and a new app, Koshertified, that delivers a comprehensive education on all aspects regarding this little-known practice. After reviewing this app, I found that it is useful for practically anyone who purchases food, regardless of their religious faith or identity. Its database of products not kosher certified is a win-win convenience for all food-conscious people. So why not check out thekosherquestion.com or click on the link at nationalbugle.com and see how modifying your grocery shopping with the Kosher-tified app can make a huge difference for your future.
Extendivite has proven time and again it really works. Here's a testimonial from Amazon.com. I am only 40, but I have put my body through hell working in manufacturing for 20 years. I recently started to notice a buzzing feeling along with a stuttering sensation with my heart. I had a full cardio stress done, which I passed. I decided to try Extendivite after getting the jingle stuck in my head. Halfway through the bottle, I really did notice a difference. After getting home from work, I would just sit in a chair for a few hours feeling like crap, and this stuff reduced that feeling along with heart discomfort to almost nothing. Extendivite is only $69.95 for a 2-month supply. To order, call 1-877-928-8822 or visit heartdrop.com. That's HEARTDROP.com.
Extend your life with Extendovite.
Homeowners, if your lender has gone out of business or sold your transaction to another lender or servicer, you may be the victim of a wrongful foreclosure resulting in the loss of your home. If you've already lost your home, are in foreclosure, or even in good standing, you can challenge the mortgage transaction's illegal issue and your property can be restored to you, and your foreclosure can be stopped or reversed and the mortgage transaction declared unenforceable. State laws, U.S. title codes, the Uniform Commercial Codes, and U.S. Supreme Court rulings have upheld that defective mortgage documentations can reverse or stop foreclosures and enforce property title claims in favor of the homeowner. We are having successes in stopping the process of foreclosure, the enforcement of the foreclosure judgments, the sale of property, and evictions after the sale. We are not attorneys, and we don't give legal advice. We are a professional team of legal researchers, providing forensic mortgage audits and expert witnesses. We have the knowledge to produce the evidence and enforce laws regarding your legal issues. We've been in business for 12 years without a complaint. Consultations are free, and we provide a free title search to confirm if your mortgage has legal defects. Please call 855-253-3748. 855, the number 2, keep it today.
Welcome back. Bottom of the first hour already of today's broadcast, this Wednesday, December 8th, 2021. Anything else to add, Nancy?
Well, you know, the slothful servant has to be commanded in all things. So, you know, there's, if you're a father and you see your children doing things that out of their own free agency that you haven't had to tell them to do, that are good, you're going to be pleased, right?
Absolutely.
And
I mean, and that then, makes your heart smile in a way that nothing else can.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
Right. And it says also that we don't need to be commanded in all things. There are some things that we should just do.
Right, which is why I mentioned James 4:17 in particular. You know, therefore, to the one who knows the right thing to do and does not do it, to him it is sin. You know the right thing to do.
So, back to against such there is no law. I would even think of Rittenhouse. I'm going to relate it to Rittenhouse. I know it'll be controversial to some people, but you know what? He was defending himself, and in that case, there was no law. He was found innocent by a jury of his peers. And I agree with them, and I don't think that he, because he wasn't out looking for trouble like those other people that were threatening him, and, you know, mischief makers. And so anyway, that's all I will say. I look forward to hearing the rest of your program.
Well, thank you very much, Nancy. Much appreciated. I appreciate your call very much, as always. And that is controversial, I think, for now, not because I'm afraid to address it, but just in kind of the interest of time, I'm going to set that aside, the Rittenhouse thing. I appreciate your perspective.
It could last for the rest of your program. Yeah. Okay.
Yeah.
Bye-bye.
Yeah, exactly. Or several more for that matter. Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah.
Thank you. Much appreciated.
Bye.
All right. In the interest of time, back to the phones. Glenn in Philly, thanks for calling. Welcome.
Hello, Chris. Hi.
Good morning, sir.
About the against such things there is no law. The fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. Against such things there is no law. Mm-hmm. Now, what you know, and basically what he's saying is, and it seems clear from the context, he's talking about that basically the law is of men. In other words, our teachings, you know, won't get that produce this fruit. Okay, are not even even the Roman Empire. You're not going to chafe up against the law. You know, the Romans aren't looking to get rid of people who are full of love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, gentleness, and self-control. Okay, it's not saying anything about the, you know, the law of God or law not existing or anything like that. It's saying that even among the laws of men, you know, there is no law against these fruits. And I mean, and even the most cursory search, if you do a search on against such things, there is no law. You know, it just I just brought that up. I mean, there's unanimous consensus about, you know, what's going on here, you know, and that, you know, that Paul's even engaging in a slight hyperbole there. It's like, not only is there not a law against these things, these are the things that, you know, governments and laws they would love to have a populace that was, you know, had these character attributes, you know, so you can't take that against the, you know, you think there is no law and start looking at law and playing game, you know, playing word games with law there. I mean, it's clearly saying nobody is against these character attributes. Nobody's against these things. There is no law against them.
Well said.
You know, So you can't really do much of anything else with that without torturing the language. and
yep.
You know, yeah, so. But anyway.
I feel like there's a certain listener who would say prolixity, and then what does the proverb say that, you know, in a multitude of words there is transgression?
Oh, yeah. Well, I believe that's Solomon in wisdom literature. Isn't that not Proverbs? Isn't that like a proverb, that kind of thing? Anyway, certainly I'm talking too much is
Proverbs 10:19.
I've had that used on me numerous times, actually.
Me too. When there are many words, transgression is unavoidable. But he who restrains his lips is wise.
Yeah, I've been trying to get a grip on that one, but it's been a lifelong challenge.
Yeah.
Given my propensities. When you were starting the program and you were talking about this stuff, I was also thinking about the negative lists, you know. The last days, men men will be lovers of selves lovers of pleasure rather than lovers of God, you know. Full of malice, envy, debate, deceit.
Yeah. So, you know, speaking of that, over the last, I don't know, 2 weeks in particular, and the last weekend, no, I think it was the weekend after Thanksgiving, I really felt sort of compelled and inclined to attack those lists head on and you know, kind of like a fire and brimstone sort of you know, just kind of like confronting where we're at, because that's where we're at in society. I mean, gosh, you know, how much further down this bad road do we have to go before we realize, like, speaking of the character attributes, like you said, you know, Galatians 5:22, how much more do we have to embody and personify those lists that you're talking about before, you know, we really kind of wake up and go, oh, that's us right now. It's us right now.
Yeah. Yes. Yes. And I always think of the distinction, you know, the head heart distinction. And lately I've, you know, been like listening to different people talking about, you know, salvation and begging this question of when and how one knows for sure that one is saved, that one is right with God. You know, that if you will confess with your mouth, Lord Jesus Christ, and believe in your heart that God has raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved.
Yeah.
And yet there's all these opportunities to miss the boat. And so it's not so much the head or the confession of the mouth. It's always the abundance of the heart that's the final arbiter, you know.
Amen.
In all of this, you know. So,
what
and, and people, counseling, I've heard, been hearing a lot of people touch on bitterness lately, you know, this idea of, you know, what a compromiser, you know, bitterness is, and how, you know, freely we have received forgiveness, we're supposed to give it freely, and, you know, vengeance is mine, saith the Lord, I will repay. Mm-hmm. Meanwhile, you know, we owe nothing to any man but the debt of love, we love our enemies. These are the hard, these are the tough ones, you know.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely, which is why said what I said, speaking to that in 1 Corinthians 13, the quintessential definition of love and how it's, you know, if there is a tough love, it's 1 Corinthians 13. That's hard. That's hard to, I mean, really, love does not rejoice in unrighteousness, but rejoices in the truth, does not act unbecomingly, does not seek its own, is not provoked, does not take into account a wrong suffered. Who has the strength of character to do that in all cases? Love is patient,
right.
Love is kind, not jealous, does not brag, is not arrogant. Those are kind of easy, but, you know, verse 5, does not act unbecomingly, does not seek its own, is not provoked, does not take into account a wrong suffered. That's, if there's tough love,
to which,
in my opinion, that's it.
To which I would inquire, who then can be saved?
Exactly. Amen.
And
when you see that kind of love, that's, I think that's evidence of, you know, God at work.
Right. Yeah, it always, you know, find myself rending my garment. I got so many torn shirts, you know, and rending my garments and beating my breast and not looking up. You know, it gets, you know, sometimes wearisome. But I always think of, I always look at the existence of 1 Corinthians 13. I always think of Paul in stereotyping biblical, you know, characters and apostles and such. I always think of Paul as the faith guy and John as the love guy and Peter as the church evangelist, you know, church.
The ready, fire, aim guy.
Hmm? What?
The ready, fire, aim guy. Just kidding.
Yes, yeah.
I'll never let that happen, Lord. Peter, one of us is God. It's not you.
But, but always, it's, you know, so I always think of salvation by grace through faith when I think of Paul, you know, and I always think of Martin Luther and Paul, who was a very Pauline kind of guy. I would like to be a fly on the wall of a conversation between Martin Luther at his best, or, you know, not at his worst, certainly his worst was pretty bad, but Martin Luther at his best chatting with Paul.
Yeah.
But not so much James, because that might destroy the epistle thing. But but anyway, so all right, I guess that's all I had. Oh, and you know what? Sometimes you're almost kind of apologetic about saying, oh, I'm not going to proselytize. Proselytize is a negatively connoted word. Evangelize is a positively connoted word, I guess.
Mm-hmm.
And it's like, you know, you don't have to apologize for for sharing the gospel. You're just doing the Great Commission thing, and there's nothing
wrong
with
it. I'm not ashamed of the gospel. I'm just trying to make sure that it doesn't sound like everything else, or that, you know, I'm trying to sneak up on somebody.
Right, right. As long as you're preaching the gospel, once and for all delivered to the saints, that's great. That's fine.
And truly, you can surely relate to this. I'm trying to create a distinction. I think so. I've said many times on this broadcast, I don't want to just be, an echo chamber or something like that. I mean, I'm not interested in regurgitating things. If there's a value and a benefit to this broadcast, maybe it's my unique perspective, which is sort of, I don't know, call it, it's not really, but I mean, to give it context, call it cross-disciplinary, where to know sort of this historical and, contemporary type stuff, but in a more, peel back the veneer kind of way, and then the biblical type stuff together, which is not separated in reality, but this steely monolith that propagandizes us would have us believe that they're separate. So to put that together, right, and then to say, here is the counterfeit that is being propagated all around us, and it's meant to look like the authentic, obviously, because, to be a good counterfeit, it has to be a close resemblance.
Well, you spend a lot of time, calling out the primary source material of the old school bad guys and stuff like that, and we see how convoluted all that is, and yet the gospel itself, not an echo chamber. It's essentially a straightforward message that just kind of simply it just kind of cuts through the Gordian knot. It's like, okay, blah 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 blah.
Yeah, here it is. Cutting through the Gordian knot. Speaking of Paul, we preach Christ and Him crucified. Bam, done.
Yep, exactly. That's what it's all about. You got it.
Simple. Super simple. Exactly. And that's exactly sort of the heart of the controversy that I was trying to address today. And again, it's not to say this is not some altar call. It's not that. It's just saying it is if the Holy Spirit says it is. I'm not trying to do that, is what I'm saying. Yeah. And what I'm trying to do is make the distinction between Joel Osteen and the old guard. The Oswald Chambers crew and all those guys, and what they were saying, which is, you won't hear Oswald Chambers preach in, Lakewood so-called church, for example.
And which is the ironic thing is, like, I sort of came into evangelicalism and Pentecostalism and stuff out of, liberal, being raised as a liberal Lutheran, and then having done the Go East thing, and ended up back, at Christianity. But I still love certain aspects of, we talked about love and the heart and stuff like that. I got to hand it to those Lutherans who wrote the, the liturgies for their hymnals and stuff like that. We have the weekly corporate confession that says, we have not loved you with our whole heart. We have not loved our neighbors as ourselves. It's like, they get that core concept in there. That's Lutherans don't do confession as an individual thing. They do like a corporate thing and part of the liturgy. And it's like, we fall short again this week, but a little better here, a little worse there. We continue to rest in your mercy and your grace, and I don't want the what I have coming to me. I don't want my wages.
Right.
The wages of sin is death. I want the free gift behind
grace.
That Jesus has behind door number
grace
one.
And mercy.
Yeah, I'll take the free gift. Thank you. Anyway,
yeah, which is an interesting. That sounds redundant, but the Holy Spirit lets us know free gift meaning there's nothing you can do. It's just a restatement, lest we wonder. It's a gift, but it's a free gift. In other words, there's nothing you can do for it. Nothing.
Right. Did you ever? Are you familiar with Eddie Izzard and his comedic side, the actor?
Mm-hmm.
It always reminds me of his characterizations of the Anglican Church, you know, the English Church, it's like cake or death.
Yeah.
cake or death. Death.
Yeah.
No, I mean cake. You
right.
said death, but I meant cake.
Right. Exactly. Awesome.
So, all right, we're going to a break, and I'm heading out. So, all right, Chris, thank you.
Thanks, Glenn. Much appreciated, as always. Stick around, folks. We'll be right back.
What would you say if I told you we have a new tool that will increase production and lower maintenance costs for your meat processing company, and it would pay for itself in just 6 weeks?
When pigs fly!
The new EaseOff Model EZ4 replaces old spring-style carcass droppers and is faster, safer, and more reliable. The EaseOff lowers or lifts 1,000 pounds to or from your rail automatically using our remote control.
Sounds expensive! Can I afford it?
Can you afford not to try the EaseOff? It installs fast with just 3 bolts in place of your current dropper. The effortless operation will reduce fatigue and injuries, speed up your line, eliminate downtime, and increase profit.
How can I order my EaseOff?
Go to EaseOff.com, EazeOff.com, and hurry, because we are offering $200 off on the new EZ4 for a limited time. EaseOff.com. We make pigs fly. Cows, too. EaseOff LLC, Summersville, Missouri, 417-932-6419.
For over 20 years now, Extendivite has proven time and again, it really works. Here is a testimonial from Amazon.com. I received an arterial switch at birth. In my mid-20s, I started getting slight runs of NSVT. Nothing too serious, but enough to cause worry. I started taking Extendivite a little over 2 years ago, and it helped cut the palpitations and NSVT down drastically. This isn't a cure-all supplement. I strongly recommend a good diet and exercise to aid in any heart troubles you may be having, and I strongly recommend giving Extendivite a try. Extendivite is only $69.95 for a 2-month supply. To order, call 1-877-928-8822 or visit heartdrop.com. That's HEARTDROP.com.
Extend your life with Extendovite.
Did you know that you can be tracked and traced when you're online? With identity theft and cyber crimes on the rise, your passwords, your identity, and even your physical location can be revealed to complete strangers. Would you like to surf the internet anonymously and not have to worry about these threats? Well, now you can by visiting patriotinternet.com. For about $2 per month, patriotinternet.com will conceal your IP address and your physical location, allowing you to browse the web, send emails, and instant message anonymously. Patriotinternet.com will bypass filters, block sites, and keyword blocking. You can also bypass logging by your router and your ISP. With PatriotInternet.com, there is no software to install and uses 128-bit encryption for your protection. When using wireless hotspots, PatriotInternet.com shields your information from identity thieves and is compatible with Windows, Mac, and Linux. Protect your identity and your freedom with anonymous internet access from PatriotInternet.com. Visit PatriotInternet.com today.
Welcome back. All right. In the interest of time, let's go back to the phones. John in Tennessee, thanks for calling. Welcome.
Good morning, Chris.
Been interesting already.
You know, I'm sorry, you're very low.
Uh-oh.
Can you hear me all right?
Yeah, hear you fine.
Okay, well, you're very low to me. If she could do something, I'd appreciate it. You know, I listened to your first caller, got a blessing out of it, and listened to Glenn. I was blessed by it. I think Chris, in many ways we limit just how powerful the Word of God is. I mean, it's this creator of the universe.
It's a self-replicating, error-correcting code. That's a funny little
joke. Yeah, but
he
wrote the book that is so powerful, it can be applied. I've heard preachers and teachers that have got more out of two verses than I've got out of an entire chapter.
Yeah,
and the reason for that is they're literally led by the Holy Spirit.
Mm-hmm.
They've studied. They have a desire. They have a love for God's word, a love for Christ. And it's not their words that are coming out of their mouth. They're being led to teach or to preach. And I enjoy listening to Glenn. But it's like you said, you know, I can't ever remember how you put it, but it's a self-replicating, error-correcting code book.
Correct.
And we limit it. And what I'm hearing this morning, and I'm so happy, is we're seeing people reasoning together. It's iron sharpening iron. We're doing what the book tells us we should be doing.
Yeah.
None of us are going to get it 100% right. Paul struggled. And I can't quote it exactly, but he said, "Oh, what a wretched man that I am." Prior to that, he said, that I would, I do not, that I would not, that I do.
Romans 7.
Oh, what a wretched man that I am, who will deliver me? So Paul,
from this body of death,
struggled. If we could do it, if we could be without sin, if we could live outside the law, Christ would have never had to go to the cross.
Amen.
But yet he did. And to go back to what I said probably a couple of
months
ago.
That statement, what you just said, that will probably never be heard in Lakewood's so-called church either. Anyway, I digress.
And you know, like you, I've got Oswald Chambers, my utmost for his highest. Mine doesn't match yours. You sent me the picture, and my passage for that day in November wasn't the same. So I don't
Interesting.
Know.
Interesting.
Whether or not they move them around or what they do. But in any event, mm-hmm. I get blessed from Oswald Chambers. However, and I have tried numerous times to listen to our friend in Texas. And the whole time I listen, and I've never been able to complete a whole deal. I mean, I just can't. Yeah. I want to just to hear them, but I can't. And the whole thing, the whole time, never cracks the Bible open. Never reads a chapter, never reads a verse, never tells people about heaven, hell, or sin, or the cross. But I have seen the end of the broadcast, Chris. So let me ask you a question. Do you have your Bible with you today? Hold it up in the air.
Right.
Say this prayer after me. If you repeat this prayer, you just got saved.
Exactly. Well, I'm about ready. We're headed into a break. Hey, John, hold on. Stick around, folks. Second hour
coming
up.
I'll finish on the other side.
Standing 6'4", weighing in 245 pounds of crime-fighting, political science, analyzing brawn, ladies and gentlemen, Dr. Patrick Slattery.
So, Mike, get off this anti-cicada agenda.
I'm a born-again traditional Christian, and my favorite possessions are right here on my nightstand. That would be the King James Bible and my .357 revolver.
I'd rather be ruled by Chinamen than Jews.
Cool it with the anti-Semitic remarks, right?
Just because you steal an election and terminate the republic doesn't mean you terminate the people in the republic, because we're still here.
I'm not taking the vaccine. F*** you, Bill Gates.
There was a way forward still on January 6th. What needed to be done is to object to every single state.
The COVID-19 virus was the setup. The vaccine could very well be the bioweapon.
The Patrick and Jeremy Show, Tuesday at 9 Central. And Wednesday at 1 Central.
You're listening to Republic Broadcasting Network, because you can handle the truth.